Our scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The person on campus responsible for bringing our speaker this morning is Kelly McGaffin, and I've asked her to introduce him.
Please join me in welcoming Daniel Sepulveda.
God is so good, is he not? I am so happy to be here. Thank you, Dean Smith. Thank you, Keith Martell, David Smith and the worship team, students for showing up this morning. I was in chapel in college at Baylor University. I know what this is like, so thank you guys for showing up. Oh, man, God is so good. Our passage for this morning is one that's very close to my heart. It's an incredible picture that the prophet Isaiah provides us of the suffering servant, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and the miracle that took place that day, the redemptive work that took place that day. He gives us an awesome picture of it, approximately 700 years before it is even to happen. That's mind-boggling to me, and more testimony to the truth of Scripture. God, through prayer, has given me a passion for his word. Isaiah was a book that I read just about a year ago that was very close to my heart. That passage is very close to my heart. What I want to share with you this morning is the identity that I draw from that passage of Scripture. And that identity is that more than anything else in this whole world, I'm a child of God. That is who I am. And though the world, my flesh, and the devil would tempt me to think otherwise, they're all lies from the pit of hell. That foundationally, for Daniel Sepulveda, I'm a child of God, and that is what I want to stand on, because that rock will never leave me, no matter what happens to me, no matter how many times I blow out my right knee. That foundation, that truth will never abandon me. I can always stand on that. And so I want to share with you what that looks like, an application of that in my life. I want to provide a brief background to set up the place that God had me before he brought me to Pittsburgh, and then maybe share some stories. I understand that my platform as a Pittsburgh Steeler affords me opportunities like this, so I always like to share some of that with the audience that God provides. So, having said that, we read a little bit of Isaiah 55. It's my prayer that he would prepare our minds and our hearts, and that his word would go out and accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. That's my prayer this morning. So let's jump in to exploring our foundational identity as believers in Jesus Christ. To provide a brief background, I have to start with my family. I grew up in an incredibly awesome Christian home, and I consider it a tremendous blessing to have come from the home that I came from. Neither one of my parents got to experience the upbringing that I did. They both came from broken homes, from single-parent homes. My mom's dad died when she was very young. My dad's parents were divorced. He grew up with three sisters, the only boy. My heart goes out to him in that way. No offense. But they came from very difficult upbringings. My dad's dad was an alcoholic. Just a bunch of brokenness in their family. And it's interesting to read about the patterns of generational sin that can be passed from father to the next generation, and how those were broken by my parents' attempts to glorify God with their lives and the blessing that God bestowed upon them for their faithfulness. And the resulting upbringing that I had with my brothers, I'm one of four boys, I'm the second one, we had a blast growing up. Grew up in an incredibly awesome Christian home where Jesus Christ was modeled up for us from day one. And I know that is rarely the case this day and age. And so being reminded of that, with opportunities to come and speak and reflecting on the goodness of God in my life, I thank God before you all this morning for the ways that my parents raised me and the opportunities that afforded me. Typically, I'll share some of the tangible ways that my parents loved my brothers and I and modeled Jesus Christ for us growing up, but I don't think I have time for that this morning, so we'll move on. Suffice it to say that I left my childhood, and throughout my childhood got to experience an intimate understanding of, a foundational understanding of the things of God, just based on the teaching that my parents provided me when I was a young man. That you could possibly call it a sheltered environment, certainly a positive one, continued on through high school. We moved around a lot, but once we got to Dallas, I grew up in a neighborhood that was called a bubble. Highland Park in Dallas, Texas is often joked about as a bubble because it's sheltered from the rest of the world in a lot of ways. Some of the brokenness of the horrible, sinful world that we live in isn't really found in a place like Highland Park. And so when you take that perspective on my upbringing, I was sheltered in a way. That sheltering and that bubble continued when I went to Baylor University, a Baptist institution, a place where I could share my faith very openly and not have to be concerned about persecution in a way that maybe it would have at a different college. Maybe some of you can identify with that here at Geneva. I would consider you to do that as I continue to share. But with that upbringing and with that background in mind, God provided me with this rather stark leap to Pittsburgh. I joke a lot of times, and I've shared many times, that going up to the draft, leading up to the draft, the NFL draft in 2007, I was often asked the question, where do you want to be? And of course, the good Christian response is, I want to be where God wants me to be, right? And so that's what you share with the media. But really, in my heart of hearts, I wanted to, being from Dallas, I wanted to stay somewhere warm or stay somewhere close to home. It's even cold inside up here. And it was a tough transition for me. But that's just a small picture of what God was doing in my life, taking me from Dallas, from my friends, from my family, from everything that was comfortable to me, and moving me up to Pittsburgh. Don't get me wrong, incredible franchise that I get the opportunity to play for. And the longer that I've been here, the more I realize and recognize how blessed I am to be a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Rooney's are incredible, run an incredible organization. There's so much history and tradition. And I know that we appreciate that on Black and Gold Day. I can see it. But there was a lot of growth out in front of me when I first came to Pittsburgh, and I maybe didn't realize that. In sharing with the foundational identity I took from my childhood and applying that now in a very real way, in a very broken world, in a very broken environment, in an NFL locker room, my identity was challenged, and that's what I want to share with you. I want to share with you the ways that my identity was challenged when I came to Pittsburgh, and then maybe some implications of that identity as I go forward now and as I live my life day to day. So I'm going to explore those two topics, and then we'll close this thing. The biggest challenge to my foundational identity may seem obvious to you, but the world, my flesh, and the devil would try to disguise it as otherwise. In a lot of ways, it's my name, Sepulveda, and the fact that that runs across the back of my jersey. The biggest challenge to my foundational identity is the jersey that I get to wear and everything that comes with it. The world will tell you that being a Pittsburgh Steeler is the ultimate, and it's more important than being a child of God. The devil will use the pride of my flesh that I had when I was born and couldn't do anything about. He will use that pride to tell me that, man, I'm the man. I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler. I get to wear a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey in the city of Pittsburgh. And as you walk through the world as a Pittsburgh Steeler, you're constantly receiving reminders that that is absolutely the case, that that is your reality, that you're a Pittsburgh Steeler, and that transcends being a child of God. That message is delivered to me all the time from the world, from my flesh, and from the devil. And in order to combat that, I have to continually remind myself that that's not the case, that I'm a child of God. It reminds me of a very tangible picture of that, that I've constantly been reminded of since coming up here. God puts trials in our life to remind us of what's truly most important. I want to take you to the AFC Championship game. Just barely a month ago. against the New York Jets at Heinz Field. I show up for the game, standing on the sidelines wearing, my sweats because I don't get to play. It was almost a month before that I tore my ACL for the third time in my right knee. The day after I tore my ACL in my right knee, my mind is spinning, emotions are running rampant. I don't know if I'm done playing football. I don't know if I want to play football. I don't know if God wants me to play football. I'm experiencing a lot of shame and guilt associated with putting in the team in a bad position, getting hurt a second time in the third year. I'm just asking questions. And God proceeded over the next month leading up to the AFC Championship game to continue to convict my heart and give me evidence that he wasn't through with me yet in the NFL. So I was beginning to have a peace about it. I was beginning to grow and recognize that I really needed to trust God moment by moment with this injury as I was experiencing it again for the second time in just 3 years. So now we fast forward to the AFC Championship game, and I'm showing up in my sweats. I get there cheering the team on like crazy. When you don't get to play on the field, your role changes a little bit. I become more of a cheerleader. I know we don't have them, but we had one at least on the sidelines. I don't typically stand on the bench the way I was. The only thing I was missing was a terrible towel because I certainly lost my voice. But I can't explain to you how awesome it is to turn around and yell and see even one person stand up. Yeah! But that's another story for another time. The game comes to a close, and here come the stages onto the field. Jim Nantz, CBS, everybody's coming. They're singing over the loudspeakers. Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl. And here I am in my sweats. Really? Again? Like, I know how hard it is to get to the Super Bowl. It is not easy. Even an incredible franchise like the Pittsburgh Steelers only been 8 times. Man, this is a hard place to get to, and we've been there twice in 3 years, and both times I'm missing it. It was kind of a hanging in my head. All the teams running around, they're taking pictures, they're jumping on each other, everybody's all happy, they're bringing the stage out. And here I am in my sweats. I turned to Greg Warren, our deep snapper. He missed the last Super Bowl with me on IR. And here he is in his uniform, and I just look at him, and he can see what I'm struggling with because he's been there before. And this is now the second time in 3 years, and I just go over to him, and I give him a hug, and he just says, "I'm sorry, bro." And it was a very tangible piece of evidence to me that God was revealing to me that I have an identity problem. It's like, hey, look, this is not you. You're not a Pittsburgh Steeler. And what's funny to me is at that time I thought, man, if I just had my jersey on right now, I just want to wear the jersey. I just want to have the helmet on. I just want to be associated with greatness, right? Because the Pittsburgh Steelers going to the Super Bowl, that's what it's all about. That's what we're here for, right? No, that's not what we're here for. But God was revealing to me that that's what I was thinking. That was my reality in that time, and that is just not the case. I'm a child of God, and that is who I am. And for that reason, I should have a peace in the midst of that where I can be happy and support the teammates, know that I did my part, know that I was doing my part even that day, and I can have joy in that, and that the God of the universe can provide me with a peace that's very real. But that was not the case that day. God was speaking to my heart, revealing to me that I have an identity problem because I didn't have my jersey on. So then you think to yourself, great, well, if you just would have had your jersey on, then you wouldn't have an identity problem, right? I still would have had an identity problem. I just wouldn't have realized it. And it's for that reason that you thank God for the trials that he puts you through. And when you go through trials, you search for the things that God is showing you through that opportunity. Man, thank God that I didn't have my jersey on, because I wouldn't understand as deeply as I do now that I'm a child of God more than anything else. And the benefit that truth is going to deliver me for the rest of my life going forward is far greater than any Super Bowl experience. It's so much more valuable than standing on the field listening to Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl when I'm wearing my jersey and my getup. So I thank God for trials like that, because they reveal to me that the ways that I'm quenching the spirit, the ways that I'm failing to have the faith that God has called me to, the ways that I'm failing to identify with the wounds of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that by his wounds, my wounds are healed. Let's discuss some of the implications of having that understanding. By identifying with the wounds of Christ on the cross and the ways that they heal my wounds here on earth, empowering me with a perspective to approach my problems differently. That's one of the implications of having a foundational identity in the cross of Jesus Christ. You have a new perspective. You have a perspective that totally changes everything. You look at the world differently. You look at trials differently. You look at even successes differently. And that's what the Super Bowl was all about for me. After that AFC Championship experience, the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, God began to convict my heart that, okay, this week is not going to be an easy week for you unless you cling to me. If you don't identify with me and with the cross in Isaiah 53, you're not going to have peace at the Super Bowl. You're going to be bitter. You're going to be angry. You're going to be upset. And I was bitter, angry, and upset, and frustrated, and all those things at the AFC Championship. I can't deny that, but I have to run to reality. That's the only way I'm really going to have peace. And so that's what the Super Bowl experience was all about for me. Experiencing the implication of my foundational identity through perspective. And so when God gives me his spiritual eyes, when he gives me eyes to see what's really going on in the midst of a struggle or in the midst of my position in Pittsburgh or any of those things, you approach the Super Bowl week, Media Day specifically, totally differently. Media Day is an opportunity to go, and it really is a wild day. It's about an hour, and you get asked the craziest things. I remember walking through on Media Day a little bit leery of the questions I was going to get asked, having to do this whole process again, being hurt. So I walk through with a purpose as if I'm going somewhere, so that if someone wants to interview me, they really have to stop me. And so the first person that stops me happens to be from TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, a Christian television station. He says, "Are you going somewhere?" I said, "No, I'm not." He goes, "Oh, it looked like you were going somewhere." I was like, "Well, good, that's what I was going for." So he stops me, and I thank God for that first interview, because this is TBN. I get to be who I am and not have to worry about what the guy's going to think. It was awesome. It was a gift from God. And so he starts asking me all about my perspective, and I'm like, "Hey, man, this is amazing." And so it was an opportunity for me to very clearly and very powerfully give my testimony to this guy. And as is with Media Day, I could sense that he was hearing my message. It was awesome. It was very encouraging. He gave me this bracelet that says, "Make Jesus Famous." Praise God. My day has started off awesome. This is the message I'm going to deliver to every media outlet today, thanks to having TBN start me off the right way. And so that's what I tried to do. Of course, without fail, at Media Day at the Super Bowl, the Mexican media swamped Sepulveda, even though I don't speak Spanish. So, I mean, I would have delivered my testimony in Spanish, but I can't. At least not powerfully. Certainly not outside of the Spirit. So we had some fun with the Mexican media, as I always do, but tremendous opportunities to glorify God with a circumstance that does not make sense to the world. It's easy to say, and this is really what gets me about the whole Super Bowl experience. Had I been playing in that second Super Bowl, praise God, man, what a gift. Thank you for gifting me in this way to be able to play in a Super Bowl after I was faithful to you for missing the first one. I even thought that might be the case when I, you know, came into this year and it started looking good. I was like, man, how cool would it be if I was faithful with that first Super Bowl, and now here we are going into a second one, and it's in my hometown in Dallas, and I get to play in it. Oh, what a gift that's going to be, man. God, that is awesome. I see what you're doing. That's pretty cool. And then I get hurt, and that doesn't happen. But you know what? After the week was over, I recognized that the kingdom work that was accomplished by me being hurt was so much more powerful than the kingdom work that could have been accomplished for me saying, "Praise God, thank you for this gift, for allowing me to play in the Super Bowl." It would have been authentic, absolutely. Praise God. And I would have been able to share my testimony with the ways that God led me up to that point. But is that really powerful to an unbelieving world? That makes sense. That makes sense to an unbelieving world. Oh, of course he's happy. Of course, praise God. It's easy to say that when you're playing in the Super Bowl. It's not easy to say that when you're not playing in the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. And God began to communicate that to me and convict me of that truth. And I thought, man, that is awesome. Not only that, But every time you turn around, you're reminded that you're not playing in the Super Bowl. And so it showed me that I had to have a faith that was moment by moment. I had to constantly remind myself and be reminded that I needed to rely on my foundational identity in Jesus Christ more than my identity as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Because the world, my flesh, and the devil aren't going away until the day of glory. So to kind of close things and to sort of begin to wrap this up, I want to encourage you all to consider the ways that your identity is challenged. What is it in your life that is competing with God as your principal source of identity? Is it academics? Is it a relationship? Is it a girlfriend, a boyfriend? Is it a job? Is it a future job? Is it just success in general? Is it significance? Because whatever it is, it's most likely rooted in pride. And if that's the case, then the devil will absolutely use that against you. And he'll do it in a way that's very deceitful. It may seem right. It absolutely may seem right. But you combat those sort of things with spiritual disciplines. God uses opportunities like this in my life as a spiritual discipline. The things that are required of me to come and share here with the platform that he's given me, which is a whole other implication of the identity that Jesus Christ has afforded me. I recognize that, yeah, being a Steeler could pull me this way. But when I identify with Jesus Christ, being a Steeler also affords me something very awesome, and that's an opportunity to share his word. Selfishness would tell me that my time is my own, that my body is my own, that all these things are mine, when that's just not the case. Everything I have belongs to God. He is my identity. It's more than just identifying with him in my circumstances. It's identifying with him with my whole person, my body, my time, my resources, everything are his. And that being the case, opportunities are afforded me like this one, and they serve as spiritual disciplines in my life that combat my sin, which would draw me away from God and lead me on a downward snowball effect path away from God. When I profess with my life that I want to go the other way, that I want my faith to grow, that I want to apply wisdom to my life experiences and speak wisdom to my friends and their life experiences so that I can be encouraged and see faith lived out in a very real way every single day. And that when that happens, God is constantly affirming us. The Spirit is very real and working in our lives, and we're encouraged by that. And we sharpen one another when that sort of thing takes place. So I thank God again for giving me the opportunity to be here today. What are the things in your life that are drawing you away from that? Because if you start to walk down that path, it's a very slippery slope. And once sin enters your life, it compromises your conscience. And when your conscience is compromised, it makes it very difficult to give everything to God. And when you don't give everything to God, you start to slide in the other direction. I've been down that path too many times. I know what it's like. I've been there before, and I don't want to go there again. So I encourage you, lay hold of spiritual disciplines, of reading your Bible, of praying, of meditating, of fasting, whatever spiritual discipline you seem to be called to, solitude, spending time alone with God, getting away from the things of the world and the distractions of the world, whatever it may be, pursue those things so that God can show you what it is that's pulling you away from identifying with Jesus Christ on the cross. In doing that, he will increase your knowledge, he will increase your wisdom, and give you a measure of discernment so that you can attack that which is in your life that you don't want in your life, so that you can identify with Jesus Christ. Because I promise you, when you identify with Jesus Christ, you stand on a rock that will never let you down. If I identify with the Pittsburgh Steelers and with the jersey that I wear, the moment that I do that, I'll get cut. And when that happens, what am I standing on? I'm not standing on anything. And my life begins a disastrous downward spiral. And who knows where it ends. But if I stand on Jesus Christ, even if I blow my knee out again, I'm going to be just fine. I really am. And it's going to afford me opportunities to go and share God's goodness when it doesn't make sense to the world. In praying beforehand, Dr. Smith mentioned John the Baptist, and I want to share briefly about him as we close. John the Baptist was the greatest man ever to live, born of a woman. When Jesus came on the scene, everyone questioned John the Baptist, saying, "He's taking your market share. What are you doing? Like, we gotta do something about this. Everybody was coming to you. You're the man. And now there's this Jesus. What are we going to do about this?" John the Baptist was the greatest man ever lived because he had the best perspective. He identified with the truth, and that is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came, he laid it down. He cleared the way for Jesus. He prepared the way, and then when Jesus came, he got out of the way. I encourage you to do the same. Identify the ways that your identity is compromised by adhering to spiritual disciplines. And then, when trials come your way, thank God for them and get out of the way and use that circumstance to glorify the name of God, because ultimately that's what we're here to do. Remember that your reward is in heaven and that in any circumstance God can work for your good and you can accomplish kingdom work in any circumstance. Thank you so much for having me.
Please join me in prayer. Father, we've been thinking this year about counterfeit gods, and what a great testimony to see the threat of those counterfeit gods, the things that could replace you or replace Jesus. So challenge us, give us that openness to you and your word and your spirit to examine our own hearts for those things that could be taking your place. And then point us to Jesus and let him fill all of those places in an amazing way. We pray in his name. Amen. Daniel, would you come back up, please? We have two gifts for Daniel.